And so tonight we're going to look at the table prepared, and I think it's what I called it, or let me see what I called it. Yeah, the table prepared. And so going to look at, just continue through the psalm and try to understand what David is talking about. And remember, at this point in the psalm, he's turned his attention to the good shepherd. He's turned his attention to the Lord. And really, the verse 4 and 5 are prayers, or he's speaking to the Lord, so we call it a prayer. And he says in verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me." Again, I'm hoping that you'll be memorizing this psalm. I think it'll be a help if you do. I think it'll come up in times of life where you need the Lord and you remember the truth of it. And so I hope you're still working on that. And so I'm going to read the whole psalm. You can read along with me. I'm going to read the whole psalm, and then I'll get right into the lesson tonight. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Has anyone got that memorized yet? Been working on it? Yeah, good. Quite a few in here. That's great. Wonderful. All right, well, we're on verse 5 here, "Thou preparest a table before me." And when we come to this particular verse, most of us will take it at sort of its most basic level. We see that this word prepare is there, and so we would immediately be thinking about how the Lord prepares or provides for us, and that would certainly be part of the message of this phrase here. The Lord will provide, that He'll prepare a table for us, even in the midst of our enemies. And that was true for David. Thinking about while he's on the run from Saul, David went through some times of hungry, right? He went through some valleys. We said a couple of weeks ago, through the valley of the shadow of death, where he's running from Saul, he's hiding, but the Lord always cared for him. And so provision is certainly there, but while we understand that table prepared has to do with provision, you got to also remember that we've already really spoken about the Lord's full provision in the first few verses of the psalm. So whether you think about those green pastures that the Lord gives to us to nourish us, to allow us to rest, or whether it be the still waters that He brings us beside for our spiritual nourishment, or if it's the other parts of the psalm, like the paths of righteousness or the soul restoration, we've seen the Lord cares for our needs at every level in this psalm already. So this phrase has more to do, it has to do with the Lord's provision, but that's not all of it. So there's more to the phrase than this. So I want you to recall that this is the shepherd's psalm. And David is very much writing this psalm as he would write, picture himself a sheep in the Lord's fold. And so the Lord is the shepherd. He's guiding the flock along the way. David is one of those sheep in the fold, and the Lord is his shepherd. So he's writing this psalm very much like he is one of those sheep. So we're going to look through the eyes of David, hopefully, tonight, and look at verse 5 and talk about this table prepared. So I need to work on that word table for a second. And do you know what the word table means? It means table. You know, it's pretty deep. It does. It means table. But if you were to get out your concordance and look at the Hebrew and look at the words, what you'd see, and it's not even, you know, sometimes down near the bottom, there's a part of that, you know, kind of a rare definition of a word. But right up near the top, it actually means the king's table, or a table for a king. Or it even means this, the king's table spread out. So have you ever gone over to someone's house and, you know, they've invited you over for dinner or whatever the case, and you get there and they've got a bunch of food just spread, and you say something like this, "Now that's quite a spread." You ever heard that phrase being said? "Now that's quite a spread." Well, that's kind of what the thought of this word table, the table prepared, is that the Lord's buffet, you might say, the Lord's table is quite a spread before the sheep. And so it has to do with this idea of it's the king's table. So it's not just any provision, but it's provision that has been set up and made by the king. And that will be important in just a second. So what would a sheep, what kind of a pasture would a sheep look at and think, now that is quite a spread. Now this is so easy for us to see right now because we're coming to the tail end of winter. And, you know, I'm new here and so in Wyoming. And so we were, you know, where we were in Texas, our winter is about 6 weeks. It gets cold. Yes, sir. No, I know. I'm just kidding. Look, what I'm saying, I'm new. I'm not scared of the winter. I've been enjoying it. You know, it's been a long time since I've experienced cold temperatures for this long. It's been great. But I've heard from, I think, everyone in this room nearly, man, we're ready for this winter to be over. Where is spring? You know, when's it going to get here? And just imagine as a sheep in the fold getting through the winter, the forage tends to run out. You know, the ground, it's not like the spring where there's this just lush stuff to eat everywhere. And so the sheep, they don't, you know, sheep aren't real smart. So they're not like, oh, I'm looking forward to the spring. But you understand when the spring gets there, they're probably pretty happy about it. Because all of a sudden there's this new buffet, there's this new spread out before them that they're able to partake in. So to a sheep, it's interesting. They would be, at least the shepherd, he would be looking forward to the time after the winter's over when he could lead his sheep. We said this a couple weeks ago, through the valley. Valleys lead to what? Oh, do I have to teach y'all again what a valley is? Remember this really profound thing I said about the valley is the space between two hills? Yeah, so any way you go in a valley, you're going to go up eventually, right? You're going to go up. And so as he leads through the valley, he's leading them to a higher ground, somewhere where there is some lush summer feeding ground. Okay, so this is the idea because it's a shepherd's psalm. It's really through the shepherd's eyes. They're getting near the end of winter, and the shepherd is going to be leading them to the high plateaus. We would call them mesas. You ever learn that in school, the mesas? I used to live in West Texas. We lived on top of one. Our whole area, the Llano Estacado, the Steak Plains, it's all up on this big mesa. We call it the Cap Rock. And you can drive a couple, you know, I'm at 60 miles, I think, from where I was born. And you can drive right off the Cap Rock into the valley. And so, again, it's a mesa. But did you know what mesa means? Table. The word mesa means table. And so it's very much that the shepherd is looking toward the end of winter. And he's looking around. It's like, man, we need some better grazing. Y'all ever been going through a valley in life and you're like, man, I'm ready for some better grazing. Okay, that's kind of the idea. And as the summer starts to approach or the spring starts to approach, the shepherd has every intention of leading his flock up those valleys, up onto higher ground, these mesas. Here's what shepherds call them. They call them the tablelands. The tablelands. Now, take your hymn book. You got a hymn book in front of you? Take your hymn book. Oh, did I even get one? Oh, I got one over here. I just want you to see this because it's really neat. This is one of the reasons we sing these hymns. Because hymns are biblical. Look at 291. Go to 291. I don't know. I didn't know this guy that wrote this. Johnson Oatman Jr. I was never acquainted with him. He died long before I was around. But there's all this speculation on why he wrote this song, Higher Ground. Right here in our hymnal, they quote Philippians 3:14, which a lot of people think that's where he got the inspiration for the song. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. It very well could be. There's other psalms that they would list and say maybe this is where he got the inspiration for the psalm. But I just, when we get to heaven, I'm going to go ask him if it was Psalm 23. Because what he writes in all four verses and the chorus, he writes about the time, whether he knew it or not, he wrote about a time when the shepherd, the winter was running out, the spring was approaching, and the shepherd was going to lead his flock up to higher ground. Let's read it together. Verse 1, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Verse 2, my heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. You can see this, right? He's in a valley, right? He doesn't want to stay in the valley. Though some may dwell where these abound, okay, some may enjoy, some may want to stay in the valley. I don't, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Look at the chorus with me. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's, what's the word? Tableland. You know where that word comes from? Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So here is the psalmist. Oh, a higher plane. Can't stop. That would really irritate some people. I didn't read the last phrase. A higher plane than I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. So just imagine this song recounting many ways the journey of that sheep in this in leading the shepherd leading them towards higher ground. It's interesting that word tableland is a shepherd's term. It refers to the summer plateaus where they would take the sheep for grazing. It was rich pasture. We might say, just like David did, it was quite a spread. It was a table. It was a king's table. And you can just imagine if you're, you know, the grass out here, I take it doesn't get much greener than that around here, probably. Maybe a little. But just imagine if all you got is those brown little nubs, those little woody stalks, and you're eating all that, and you're following the shepherd, and he leads you up to like this lush green pasture on top of this table. I mean, you can imagine how a sheep would think, man, I'm in heaven. This is great. You know, here I am. And so this is this idea of the Lord preparing the table before me. And what's interesting here is the emphasis of the phrase is not so much the table or the spread or the tableland. It's the preparation of the good shepherd. So a shepherd, and I know I hate to get too far into the weeds on shepherding, but that's where this psalm, that's the inspiration for the psalm. So it helps us to understand a little bit about what's being said. But the shepherd would have to go first to go make sure the pastures were ready for the sheep. So it'd be very foolish to lead a flock of 100 sheep or however many sheep a guy might have. It'd be very foolish to lead them on a path he hasn't gone before. And so notice David says, thou preparest a table before me. Now, that word before me, it definitely does mean that, you know, if we sit down at a table, the table is before us, right? It's in our face. It's before us. But thou preparest a table before me really has this idea that the Lord has been going before us doing the preparing. He's been going before us getting things ready. Just like a shepherd would go before and he would, you know, he'd make sure his flock was safe down here in the valley in this at the end of the winter. And he would take several trips up to the tableland and he'd learn the path that he would lead the sheep too, and find a safe path for them. And he'd go and he'd make sure that the right crops were there or the wrong crops were gone. He'd maybe clean debris or get rid of places that would be tempting for the sheep to fall into, whatever the case. He would also probably build a summer camp that would be a home for him while he watched the sheep there. He'd cultivate and clean out the water sources. I mean, all this different stuff he would do in preparation that when the time was right, he'd take that herd of sheep and he would lead them up to the tableland for the summer. Now, this is an obvious spiritual truth we see that David is speaking of. Just as a good shepherd knows how to take care of the sheep and knows when to lead them to new pastures, so our shepherd knows when we need to be carried up to higher ground. We don't have to live in the valleys as Christians. They're part of our journey. We go through valleys all the time. In fact, it's promised that we will go through some valleys, but we don't have to live in the valleys. The Lord is always going ahead and preparing new ground. He invites us to say, you could say like this, he invites us to join him at the king's table from time to time. So he leads us in this. And it should be noted, I'm going to give you three tables prepared, okay? Three tables, three places in life where the Lord goes before and prepares us a table. And it should be noted that everything the Lord asks us to do, he's already gone and checked it all out. Any valley that you've ever been through, do you know the Lord was there first? He was there first. He already went through that valley. He goes before, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. So let's look at it. First one is the table of salvation. The table of salvation. A good shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, prepared the table of salvation long before we were able to partake in it. In Revelation 13 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the of life." Now, in that verse, it's really speaking of the Antichrist, but when it refers to the Lord Jesus, it refers to him like this, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That means that the plan of redemption was already chosen and put into place, and it was essentially a done deal before we ever got here. Before the foundation of the world, the Lord had already decided, I'm going to go before, and I'm going to prepare a table of salvation. So just like the sheep, if you went out there and told the sheep, all right, winter's over, head on up to the summer feeding grounds, those sheep wouldn't know what to do. They wouldn't ever get there. In the same way, we can never find salvation on our own. It is wholly of God that we find salvation. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness as we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Galatians chapter 2 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And I can read passage after passage after passage and scripture after scripture after scripture that'll tell you the Lord paved the way for salvation. He did all the work for salvation. He did the work. We did not do the work. And we can't work our way to salvation. I cannot be a good enough person. I cannot join church or attend church so many times and all of a sudden my way is paid into heaven. That is not how it works. It's only by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he prepared the table. He makes the way. It is not by us or what we do. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he," that's God, "hath made him," Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So the Lord became sin for us. He hung there on that cross in effigy, in our place. What he was doing? He was preparing the way. Preparing the way. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, Peter says, "Be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." He says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So the table of salvation, you understand, we didn't set that table. We did not prepare the table. We had nothing to do with it, but the Lord sets it out before us like a king's spread, and he wants us to partake of salvation. He wants us to come to a place where we sort of get to the end of ourselves and we understand, I cannot do this thing on my own. I am a sinner. I am in need of God's grace. I'm in need of God's forgiveness. And we come to him with nothing in our hands and we ask him for forgiveness of sins. And we place our faith and our trust in the table that he's prepared, the Lord Jesus Christ, which died for us and rose again. We place our faith in him. We ask him to save us. We get to eat at the table. All of a sudden, we get to be what the Bible refers to as saved. I had someone recently ask me, "What is this thing you keep saying? You keep saying this thing about being saved. What is that?" Because the idea that this person had was that, you know, if we just sort of try our best and we're a good person, and we just do some good things here and there, and we just try to follow the Lord, but that's how we come to know the Lord. But the fact is, we all have to have a time and a place in our life when we get saved. It happens in an instant, in a moment of time. So it's not that, oh, I go and I ask for forgiveness. I ask God for forgiveness all the time. That's a whole different thing. You know, there's a lot of people who ask God to forgive them a whole bunch of times before they ever got saved. You say, well, how does that work? Well, because you have to understand you're coming with all your sin to Christ. You're coming not just for the ones you did yesterday and today, but you're coming to him in your sinful state. You're coming to him with your life and your eternity in view, and you're saying, I have to rely on you for salvation wholly and completely, and we need to get saved. And so if there's never been a time and a place in your life where you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've made that arrangement with Him that you're going to accept the payment that He has made, and you're going to stop all your efforts to save yourself and ask Him to save you, I'm telling you, that's the table He's prepared before you. He wants you to follow in Him in salvation. So we have the table of salvation. Secondly, we have the table of abundant life. This is a great thing. You know, the Lord, He doesn't just want to save us. He wants to give us life, and He wants to give us life more abundantly. I think as we look at David's writing here in Psalm 23, and we understand what he's talking about, I think this is the emphasis of his writing here, because this is a psalm about his life and his living and his struggles and his running from Saul and how God was preserving him through that and protecting him through that and giving him an abundant life even in a difficult circumstance. So I believe that you know, I'm so glad I got saved. The third one is heaven. We'll get there in a second. I'm glad I get to go to heaven someday because of what Jesus did. But, you know, I'm so glad I can live the abundant Christian life today and tomorrow. And for the time that I have on this earth, the Lord wants me to have abundant life. This is a table that God has gone before us and prepared. In John 10, in verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." More abundantly. So every valley that we will ever walk through, the Lord's already been there. He's already been there. Did you know the Bible says this about Jesus? He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It says this in Hebrews chapter 4, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are." Here's the difference. "Yet without sin." That's Jesus. He's been to the valley that you're in. He's been there. In fact, He went before you. He prepared the way. And He said this, "I'm leading you up to higher ground, but I've staked out a path that you can walk. I've gone before, and this is a safe path for you. Trust in me. I'm going to lead you on through this valley." So in our lives, our lives are full of valleys and hilltops, and valleys and hilltops. And we like the hilltops more than we like the valleys, but we have to understand we can't always live on those hilltops. The Lord's working on us. He's doing something. He's got a plan for our life. And so as He leads us up and down these hilltops and valleys, it comforts us to know, well, here's the thing. Anywhere I go, He's already gone before. He has already paved the way. He already knows what this valley is like. I fear the valley because I don't know what's behind that corner and what that shadow is and what's going to happen next. I don't know those things, but He knows. He's already been there. He's already staked it out. He's already planned it out. And here's the best part. He knows where we're going. He knows where the good grazing is. He knows where the summer feeding ground is, the tableland, the higher ground, that table prepared. He's leading us there because He's already been in the valley that we are walking. Sometimes when I started thinking about this, you know, as a shepherd, you lead your sheep up to new ground. You realize, things like bears, cougars, wolves, they know where those sheep are headed, don't they? Right? They're looking for a nice meal after the winter as well, aren't they? And so they're going to meet. So here's what I'm saying. Sometimes on the way to the tablelands, sometimes on even in those tablelands, we're going to be met with opposition. There's going to be some new enemies that we encounter. But here's the thing. The Lord knows all of that. He knows everywhere the enemy is hiding. And so it's our job to just trust the shepherd in His leading. And so God wants to give us this blessed life. I do not believe anywhere in the scriptures you can find where the Bible tells us that as a Christian person, you're supposed to live on this world miserable or alone or unhappy. I don't see that in the scriptures anywhere. Do we have things in our life that bring us sorrow? Yes. In fact, we're called to some sorrow because Jesus walked that valley. And if we're going to be more like Christ, well, then we're going to have to walk through some of those valleys. But that's I just can't find anywhere in the scriptures where it's my plight and my lot in life that I'm just supposed to be miserable. No, God, He said this, I'm here to give you life, and I want you to live it. I want to give it to you more abundantly. That means He wants to give you the fullness of life. Did you know the lost world cannot, they can't experience the fullness of life that comes through Jesus Christ. This is something that money can't buy. You know, the world thinks, you know, if I can just get a hold of the money and the things that worldly-wise seem to make people happy, if I can get a hold of those things, boy, I'll really be living it. But every single one of them that gets a hold of those things, they get there and they go, oh, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more worth living for than this. Jesus gives us in this life what money can't buy. Peace. Contentment. Rest, help. He wants us to live life and live it more abundantly. He's called us to live, we could say, on higher ground. We're content with His daily provision, His daily protection, and His blessing. Now, thirdly, lastly tonight, let's look at the tableland of heaven. No matter what we experience on this earth, I just want you to know the Lord has gone before to prepare you a place in heaven. If you're saved, let me just, on this point here, I thought, man, I could explain all this or I could just read a bunch of scripture. You know what I chose to do? I'm just going to read a bunch of scripture. So here we go. John 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended, for they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. You know, He's telling those disciples, you boys are in for some trouble in this world. And these things will they do to you because they have not known the Father nor me, but these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. Well, you know what He's saying? Guys, I've been through that valley that you're about to walk. Take comfort in that. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you, but now I go my way to Him that sent me. And none of you ask of me, whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. So the Lord's saying, I'm about to leave this earth. He's going to the cross. He's going to die. He's going to resurrect from the dead. He's going to appear to the disciples for some days after His resurrection. But then, in Acts 1, He's going to be ascending up to heaven. He's going to sit down at the right hand of the Father. And he's letting them know, when I do that, I'm going to send the Comforter back. The Holy Spirit will be with you, and you're in for some valleys. But those valleys are places I've already been before. In John 14, He says this. And listen to this, Christian. No matter how bad your day was today, listen to this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus said this, I'm going to heaven before you. I'm going to prepare a table. I'm going, there's a higher ground that I'm leading you to. You know, this life, we could say, this life is full of those valleys and hills and valleys and hills. Compared to heaven, this is just one big valley. You know what I'm saying? Even the good times. Compared to heaven, this is just one big valley. But as the Lord leads us through this valley, there's higher ground coming. There's a rich tableland coming. Jesus said, I go to prepare. Now, here's what I understand. The Bible tells me that God made the whole universe in 6 days. For about 2,000 years, He's been preparing a place for you and I. You know what the Bible says about it? As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. You can't even imagine how good heaven's going to be. I mean, you're going to get there and go, now that is a king's table. That is something. Turn to Revelation 21 for a second. Revelation 21. We'll just close with this, but I want you to see. Anytime you're having a bad day, just read Revelation 21 and 22. Anytime you're having a bad day. Think about John 14 and where Jesus said, don't be troubled here on this earth. You know, you're going to walk through some valleys. But I'm preparing a place for you. You're heading somewhere. Isn't it good to know, Christian, this isn't it for us? This isn't it for us. This is the worst it's going to get for us as Christian people. Revelation 21. We won't read both. I'd encourage you when you get home, maybe you can read both chapters. But this is after it's all said and done here. I mean, all the judgments have taken place. The great white throne judgment has just taken place, Revelation 20. And as I understand it, 2 Peter 3 tells us when that great white throne judgment occurs, the earth and the heavens are dissolved. And everything in them. Read 2 Peter 3, tells you that. And so at that judgment, it's literally all of mankind hovering there in the presence of God, about to be judged. After that's over, we start chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Now, the only reason I'm reading this is because I just told you, you can't even imagine. Listen to what the Bible says about New Jerusalem, which I'll show you in a second. It's where, if you're a Christian in our dispensation, guess where you're going to live? In heaven. On my cloud with a harp, right? That's what everyone says. You're going to get a cloud and a harp or whatever. No, you're going to live in New Jerusalem. You know where that city is? Well, it says right here, he saw New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I'm just going to tell you, I can't understand with my brain a floating city coming down out of God from heaven. I can't understand that. How am I going to get from this earth to there and back? I just can't understand it. Apparently, pretty cool to think about. I'll fly away, you know. Okay. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be, listen to this, no more death. You will never have to go to another funeral. No, neither sorrow nor crying. Now, some of you ladies, I don't know how y'all are going to manage. Y'all cry when you're happy, when you're sad. I mean, but listen, no sorrow, no crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. If Brother Steve was here, he'd say amen. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these are the true things. These words are true and faithful. We could read the whole thing. Go to verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. So this angel just got done pouring out wrath upon the earth about 1,000 years prior to this moment. He comes over there. He says, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So who's the bride? That's us. That's the church. Let me show you where the bride is. That's what this angel says. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. See, the writer of that song, what is that song? Higher ground, the writer. How is he not thinking about this thing? The bride goes to this high mountain. He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. He's like, if I'm going to show you the bride, we got to go up to the city that's hanging out of the sky. I'm just telling you, can't imagine it. But that's what the Bible says. I believe the Bible. Here's what I'm saying. The Lord's gone before. He's preparing tableland. And that helps me today, knowing that, hey, first of all, he's prepared my way of salvation. and I'm so glad when I get to heaven, or when I get to meet the Lord, I don't have to worry, is what I've done enough? No, he's already paved the whole, he's done the whole thing. I'm so glad about that. I'm so glad that tomorrow, Thursday morning, rain or shine or snow or blizzard, whatever, the Lord's already been there. He's paved the way. And he doesn't want me just to live and exist and be miserable. He wants me to live an abundant and full life in him. Even on this old world. Even if the winter does go 3 more months. Bring it on. It's going to snow tomorrow now. And I'm just glad that really at my darkest day, I can look and say, man, he's preparing a table before me in heaven that I can't even imagine. It's going to be so good. And so the psalmist says this, you know, just think David, he's on the run from Saul. He says his life is like, there's but a step between him and death. That's how he feels while he's writing this. And he says, thou preparest a table before me. Lord, I know you've already been there. You've already prepared the way. I can keep putting one foot in front of the other because I know you've prepared the way. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.